As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and they were drinking and they were busy buying and selling, and they had lots of things to do and looking for wealth and for the gullible desires of the world. People caught away as they did in the days of Jesus. As it was in that day, the Bible said, so it is at the coming of the Son of God, that all flesh had corrupted its way before God, even the religious bodies. Even the religious bodies in every walk of life have corrupted their ways before God. And the Bible said everyone has turned to their own way. Every man has gone astray and he's turned to his own quarter for his own gain. And the Heavenly Father hath laid upon him, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Having been bruised for our transgression, the chastisement of our peace was laid on his back, by whose stripes we're healed. So we see that it is a very, very unusual day. Let's turn over to the book of St. John, and let's read just a little bit from the book of St. John, chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knowest this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil who goest about to kill thee. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it's of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcised a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken? Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit old on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and they sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. All right. There's a number of things here that's real outstanding. One of the things is, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. This is a real outstanding thing to me. Another thing is, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Another thing that's outstanding is, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. and where I am, thither you cannot come. So then we see here, he is saying, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. So then we know that there is a doctrine of Christ. You know, so often as I travel around in the different parts of the world, I go into denominational churches, I go into non-denominational churches. We have tent crusades, we have open air crusades across the nation and across the different parts of the world. Sometimes we have reasonable crowds as we have tonight. Sometimes we have huge crowds. I, a lot of times, kind of cross up a little bit with different ministers. We talk and they give their convictions and their feelings and I give mine. And of course, the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes, you know. And then we come to the place where we realize that there is something that is an absolute in the earth that we're all going to have to agree on, every one of us. But we do have something to say, and it depends on your interest and hunger as to your heart, as to what the Holy Spirit will say to you. And it will be the Holy Spirit. So then, trying to retrieve a little bit here to see if we can find our thought again. I'll start talking again. I could tell that some of you are just real patient, very patient. You're very eager. I can pick up your spirit and discernment and tell you very eager to know what I'm doing, what I'm going to say, and what this is all about. And a lot of people are quick to make an opinion after the man of God speaks about 15 minutes. They sum him up and they're gone and that's it. And if you have to do that, that's okay. We won't feel bad at you. But then on the other hand, there are people that really, truly believe that there is a true and a living God, and that the end of the world is here, and that somebody, somewhere, has some understanding about what's going on. And they're designed to find out. In that, it's like I say a lot of times when we pass the graveyard, I say to the people that's in the vehicle with me, I say, well, there's the end of all flesh. There's your billionaires and millionaires, and there's your celebrities, and there's your presidents, and there's your famous people, and there's your people in the upper echelon. There's the people that's the common people. All of them sleep in the same place. All of them are just alike. They're a lot different in this life, you know. They have a great gap between them. But when they lay them down in the clay, they all sleep together. And they're all just alike. When they're raised up, all of them are just alike. For as the Bible said, you brought nothing into this world, and it's for sure that you're going to take nothing out. So when you stand before God, whether you've been a billionaire or whether you haven't been a billionaire, whether you've been a pauper, whether you've been a man of great diplomacy or a man of ignorance, you're just going to be a person. That's all. You stand there. And the great one of heaven and earth is going to judge all of us according to one thing, and that is the absolute that's in the world today, which is the Word of God. There has to be something that we agree on, folks. And it's sad to say that right at this point of life, if you'll give me a moment or two to express myself, that right at this point of life, that even the Bible itself, which is the wonderful Word of God, the proven Word of God, the historical Word of God, the only true history, as well as the divine Word of God, that it is being changed into a lie. The Bible said, and they changed the Word of God into a lie. With their translations and all of the things that they're doing, they're changing the Word of God into a lie to make it say something that it isn't supposed to say at all. And because of this, things are happening and men are being deceived, and the Bible said the wicked are waxing worse and worse. They're being deceived and they are deceiving. And so then the situation is getting worse and the youth has just gone crazy across the world. While we were over in India holding crusades there, I believe it was in India where we read the paper there that even the little girls, 10 and 11 and 9 years old, has been ravished so that the whole of India is terrorized because the little ones are out on the street. Thousands and millions of people roaming to and fro, and they just grab up the little ones, and they're so abused and mistreated. And the Bible says that this is because, not of the youth, but it says it is because the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are on edges. So then it's not our youth of today. I know I hear people talking. I hear ministers talking and they say, we've got to do something. We've got to do all over the world. They're real frantic and they say, we've got to do something. And the papers are filled with it. The news media is everywhere. And they say, we've got to do something. We've got to do something. And so they introduce all kinds of ball games. They introduce all kinds of sports, that is. They introduce monetary values. They bring all kinds of diplomacies as to education. They get everything that they can think of, and they introduce it to the children, but the children get worse. And they get worse. And they get worse. And they get worse. See, where the Bible said, and in the latter times, as to the Laodicean church age, that it would be a lukewarm Laodicea, that is the people's right age, and that it would be an adulterous, sinful generation. Folks, as if there's ever been in the history of mankind a sinful generation, this is a sinful generation. It's not a sinful sect of people as to some society or some religious sect over here or some people over here. It is a sad situation of a sinful generation throughout the world. The entire of them as a whole, religious and otherwise, has become sinful. And not only that, it is an adulterous generation. It isn't the youth, just the youth. The parents are filled with adultery. And they've married one time and two times and a half a dozen times. And they're still, while they're married, they're still filled with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And the way that they dress, the women dress, they draw the attention and they allure and they entice the spirits of humanity. The man does the very same thing as to the female species of humanity. And they're enticing one another. You know, I said this the other night. Why should you, as a man, try to entice a woman to get her attention when you know that you've got a wife and she's got a husband? Why should you do that? There's only one reason you would do that, and that's because you're a walking devil. It's because you're filled with the demon of lust. You've got the pride of life and you've got the lust of the eyes. And why would a woman try to get a man's attention as to the same thing? It's because she is a walking devil and she's filled with the spirit of lust. See, or else you wouldn't attempt to do that. Why should a woman sparkle in your eyes or a man sparkle in your eyes when you've got companionship? Why do you do that? See, that's why your children are adulterous. Why is it that your little girls, and I may lose my congregation to start with, sometimes I lose two or three to start with, so we'll just get down to we call it the nitty-gritty in the world now, and then we'll just see what we've got left. But anyway, when we look around and we see the people of today, these people of today, mothers and daddies, take their darling little children and stick them in shorts, or put them out there nude in bathing suits. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. You know what it is? They say, now, Brother Pike, let's be reality. We want a preacher that'll tell us that we can have our sports, and we want a preacher that'll tell us that we can have our bathing pools, and we want a preacher that'll tell us we can have the lust of the flesh and that God loves us and that we're on our way to heaven. But, folks, if I don't get to preach to you but just about 5 minutes, I'm going to tell you one thing, and that is that God does not love the wicked. God is angry with the wicked every day, and God said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from over the face of the earth. And the Bible said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces, and that all nations that forget God, I'll turn them into hell. Let's give the Lord another. All right. So then we came here to bear witness of the truth, because my doctrine is not mine, but it is His that sent me. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Let me tell you, I believe that God is love. I believe that God is love. I believe that God is all love. I don't believe that God brings diseases and all these cruel things to hamper, to hurt you. I believe that He would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And I teach God's threefold prosperity as to His blessing. He's got a threefold blessing, and that is He wants to bless you naturally, physically, and spiritually. And He wants you to have the natural things of the earth, and that the Bible said it is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And the Bible said that if you serve God, He will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed you with the heritage of Jacob, and if you will delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the very desires of your heart. He'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. You'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaves won't wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Let's give the Lord another hand. That's what God wants. He wants you to have the natural homes, the houses, the monetary values of life, the diplomacies of life, the good things in life that pertain to real God sense and good understanding. God wants you to have it. He wants you to be cultured and cultivated in good understanding. The Bible said all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. So He wants you to have that. He wants to bless you with long life. But He wants you to have those natural blessings, and then He wants you to have the physical health that you might be able to enjoy all of those wonderful blessings. And He wants you to have spiritual security as to those blessings, to where Satan can never take those things away from you, that you might have these things eternally. But folks, sin is of the devil. And he that sinneth is of the devil. And when we preach that God loves everybody, and it's all right, that don't you worry, that God loves everybody, that is a doctrine of the devil. The Bible speaks of a doctrine of the devil, and that preacher is of the devil because the Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. And the Bible says God will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And he said, beware ye that forget God. I'll turn you into hell. And he said, I'll destroy you. For I will meet you as a bear that's been robbed of her cubs. He said, and I will tear you into pieces. Look at your wrecks. Look at the storms. Look at the weather conditions. Look at the plane crashes. Look at that at the hospital when the knife is going in and amputating and ripping open and cutting out parts. He said, I'll tear you into pieces, ye that forget God. That is, you forget the Word of God. You leave out the Word of God. You don't discipline yourself with the Word of God. You don't have a diplomacy in the Word of God. You leave the Word of God and you go hard after the things of the world. The Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. What makes us think that we can have the love of the world and the gullible desires of the world and still have the love of God? When the Bible said that the world is an enemy to God, and to be carnally minded is to be an enemy of God. And when we have the love of the world in us, the love of the Father isn't there. Because good water, bitter water, and sweet water can't come forth from the same fountain. So then it's the parents that have eaten the sour grapes. And that's why that the children's teeth are on edges. And they are missing the coming of Almighty God. Because the Heavenly Father is a spirit. John 4:24, he is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship him in spirit. And they must worship him in truth. And truth is a far thing from people today. They'll do anything to manipulate or whatever it takes to be able to get control in the world today. And they'll lay up all kind of values. And like Solomon that had everything, vanity of vanities, he said, all is vanity and it'll pass away. And you'll pass away with it. And he said, when you get all of these riches and all of these other things, and God certainly wants you to have them, and he'll give them to you if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of those things will be added unto you, including life, even extensive life as to eternal life. But he said, when you get all of these things, he said, and then you die and you leave it to a fool. You leave it to a fool. Somebody said, it's mine. How can it be yours when they're going to put you in a hole? See, how can it be yours? You're getting closer and closer to the grave every day. You're not born to live, you're born to die. When you're born to die. In your first birth, you're born, and every day takes you closer to death. But when you're born of God, you're born to live, because every day takes you into the eternities of God with the wonderful goodness of God. So then the Bible teaches they that belong to God and they that have God are of good understanding. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. The Bible said as Peter spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And I can feel the Holy Ghost falling right now. I can feel the quickening of it already. So I know that God's here tonight. All right, I appreciate that, Bob. Now then, here's what I'm saying. I know that God is love. I know that God is love. But tell me something. Do you have to put a rattlesnake in your living room and leave him there to bite the passengers or the children or the wife to prove that you have love? Does that prove that you have love? Is that what you have to do? Is to put a serpent in your house and give him liberty in your house to kill, to strike, to destroy? And then if you do that and don't hurt the snake, everybody will know that you are a creature of love, because you wouldn't hurt, as they say, a fly. Is that the proof of love? If that is the proof of love, then I say that I'm mistaken in my doctrine tonight. But folks, let me tell you, God don't have no love for the wicked. Neither is he going to take the old serpent and put him in among his children or in his household and not do anything about it. He said that that seed of the woman would bruise that head. That it's to bruise that head. If I am a seed of the woman, if I'm a seed of Christ, what am I doing if I come up here and say God loves you and God loves you and you don't have to worry? It doesn't matter what you do. God loves you. Where is the serpent? And who am I talking to? And what am I doing? Am I then telling the truth? Why, there couldn't be a bigger liar in the country than that, because God doesn't love everybody. Huh, somebody said, bless God, that takes your congregation, Brother Pye. I never have lost it around the world. I'm not really expecting to lose it tonight. I lose some. Occasionally, I lose some. You say, well, who do you lose? Jesus said, Father, I've kept every one of them in your name, and I have not lost to one of them except the son of perdition. And he was predestinated and called a devil when he came in among the group. There are walking devils in the world, folks. There are people that are tacted by devils and oppressed by devils, suppressed by devils. And then there are walking devils in the world. And Jesus said, he's a devil. Before he was ever born into the world, the prophecy was, let another his worship take. I'm not preaching to you that we've got to do phenomenal things and we've got to do all kinds of good works to get to heaven. I'm not preaching that to you. I'm not telling you that you've got to do works and you've got to be a separated people to the extent that you're going to do good works and your good works is going to take you to heaven and these others aren't going to heaven because they don't have good works and they're going to die and go to hell. I don't preach that. This is what I do preach. The Bible said before the children were ever born into the world, as to Jacob and Esau, that it was said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Said that the children, having done no good nor evil, they'd never done any kind of good or evil. The Bible said, and this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, and brought to light at Calvary, that is to say, as the rent veil, the opening of the curtains on the great drum of life, that it was revealed to us that the Lamb that was slain in the mind of God from the foundation of the world, that our names were written down in the Lamb's book of life, and that God predestinated us unto good works in Christ Jesus. Or what God wanted us to do, he made Christ to be that. And today we are his workmanship in Christ and complete in him. And the Bible said, he that is born of God, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Never at any time does the devil ever touch a Christian. I hear people say, well, the devil's just beating my brains out. But the Bible said, he that is born of God, he keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. You are a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, not because you've done good works, but because God did good works in your behalf in Christ Jesus, and that he hath accredited this to you through your believing in his works, and through the faith of Christ Jesus by which you are sanctified. So then God has made you to be good. Where the Bible says there's none good but God, and the only goodness we have is in Christ Jesus. So then, having done no good or evil, the Bible says that he so loved us that he saved us while we were yet in our sins. He so loved us while we were yet in our sins. Before we were ever born into the world, as the prophet said, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, God ordained me to be a prophet. But folks, he hath given us a space of time. And that space of time is to learn of him and to develop into his ways and to go through his schooling and his college and come to the diplomacy of life and his understanding that this mind of Christ may be in you, that there was also in the body of the Lord Jesus, that we may by this learn to understand the goodness of God, the greatness of our Heavenly Father, and how to believe in his wonderful life and his wonderful blessings as to eternal riches and goodness. So then we're in school. God has placed us in school. But just like any school children, just like any college children, we err and we stumble and we stagger even toward our diplomacies of life. But folks, God loves you. When you make an effort toward God, it doesn't matter if you stumble and fall. God loves you. The Bible said a good man is to be in good by his goodness will fall 7 times. He'll get back up. He'll get back up. I remember my wife making this statement, said that when she read about Jesus falling, said, I knew that he didn't have to fall. He was God made manifest in the flesh. He didn't have to fall. In that the Bible said, God giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure, but the fullness of the Heavenly Father tabernacle in that body. So then she said, I know that he failed for our sake, to let us know that when we fall, we can get back up. And so then a good man falls 7 times, he gets back up. Now, I don't have but a few minutes to speak to you tonight because I don't desire to hold you a long time. You're weary, you've been kind staying here. I wish we had all night long because I have many things to say. But this I do say, you go to heaven because you're born again, folks. You can belong to any church that you want to, any sect of religion that you want to. You can be a great Bible scholar. You can go to church, you can pay your tithes, but that doesn't mean that you have eternal life.
It doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. The only way that you can have eternal life is to have the Spirit on the inside of you, because there is no life except the Spirit. The body without the Spirit is dead. When the Spirit leaves the body, they put it into the clay. And it cannot do a thing. For the Bible said the dead, so far as the body is concerned, knoweth nothing. It knoweth not anything. In the grave, I cannot praise you, David said. And so then, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. And it is the Spirit that giveth life. And unless you're born of the Holy Spirit, you cannot have a holy life. And unless you're born of the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit, you cannot have eternal life. You must have the eternal Spirit. And when you get the eternal Spirit, then you've got eternal life. Because that's what life is the eternal Spirit. And that is being born again. I'm born in my first birth of Adam, and in Adam all die. And Eve, being the mother of all living, the black, the white, the yellow, the red, whatever. All of them are but one people with one mother. And in Eve, that's where all population comes from. And in Adam, all die. But in Christ Jesus, all are made alive. And when we're born again, we're no more that living soul that can sin unto death. But we are this quickening Spirit that is of life, and that we then have sonship. And we are relative to our Heavenly Father, and Christ dwells within my spirit. That is, the Spirit of Christ dwells on the inside of my spirit. It's like the safeguard that's put in the garment that the stain cannot penetrate. Through Him I keep myself, and the evil one toucheth me not. And all the days of my life, then, what am I? Well, this is a little strong too. I wonder if I could get a sip of that water. When I say these things, of course, we've got a lot of things to say, and we can't say but a few things, because if we introduce certain thoughts, then all of a sudden, you know, it gets the people confused, because I can't stay long to explain it. Then, if I keep myself, and the evil one touches me not, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I can't fathom that. I can't get a hold of that. What do you mean by that? If you keep yourself and the evil one touch you not, why, you would lead us then to believe that you was perfect if I taught them that. Because if the devil never touches me, wouldn't I be perfect? Yes, you would. If you can't be spotted, if you can't be blemished, then you're perfect. And of course, in the little theme of thought today, it's a little thing around the world. People are always saying, but Brother Pike, they tell me so often, there's no one perfect. There's no one perfect. And then I ask the question, is the Scripture true? Can the Scripture be broken? The Bible said, let every man be a liar, and the Word of God be true. And what does the Word of God say? The Word of God said in Job was a perfect man. So then where do we go from there? And the Bible said, mark the perfect man among you. And then when somebody says, well, that's just too high for me, I could never come to that, you don't have to worry about that, because the Bible says that God hath perfected everyone that believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ with true faith. He hath perfected everyone that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible said God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Have we got any sanctified folks? And the Bible said God has sanctified once and for all the people that believe by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to contend for the faith by which you are sanctified. Therefore, having been sanctified by the faith of Christ, then what hath he done? The Bible said, perfected me forever, to the extent that the evil one can never touch me. So then, are we waiting then for the preachers to preach people and preach to people and bring people into perfection by teaching them not to chew and not to dip, not to dance and not to curse and not to frolic? That's not what we're doing to bring you into perfection. It is true that we're preaching you into perfection. But as I said, that is by the revealing of the diplomacy of the mind of Christ. To let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Having been made in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he didn't try to make himself a reputation. So then what are we doing? Paul said, being helpers of your faith, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith, the faith by which you're justified and sanctified, even in believing in his righteousness, even according to your constitution of thoughts of heart and mind. For the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So then we're trying to instill within you the thoughts of Christ. And we're trying to take out of you the thoughts of the world. The Bible said, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. that ye should not lean to your own understanding, but that ye should meditate in his laws day and night, giving ourselves a living sacrifice, which is but a reasonable service to our heavenly Father, in that he gave his all unto us. So then what are we doing? We are moving from the land of Egypt over into the land of Canaan. But we're going by the wilderness, and we have a frustration in our minds, a frustrating journey. We are dodging the pits, and we're trying to stay away from those slime pits and those things out there as to the serpents that bite. We're traveling through this great wilderness, and we're traveling by the Word of God. As God speaks to us and sends to us the leadership of the ministry of the Word, that it might take us away from our own understanding, and that it might cause us to be able to differentiate between our thoughts and God's thoughts. Because remember, folks, as we say a lot of times, there's three powerful minds that are in the earth. One mind is the mind of man. That's a powerful mind. He can do great and mighty things just as a human being. And I sometimes term this as a mind of necessity. That is, it's necessitated to life that we sleep, that we sit down, that we get up, that we walk, that we drive, that we talk, that we eat, that we drink, that we brush our teeth, as we say, or we put on clothing or whatever. That is a mind of necessity that God has given to us. It's a clean, upright mind. It's the kind of mind that God gave to Adam and Eve, and that there were one was that kind of mind. And then there's another mind that's in the world today, and that's a mind of debauchery. That's a mind for hunger and thirst to monetary values, that just loves the things of life. Automobiles and houses and money and prestige, land, all these kind of things. That mind is in the world today. And that mind is also a mind of corruption. That it is filthy. It foams out its shame. It's ugly. It always thinks wrong thoughts. It always covets someone else's wife. Or it always defiles that which doesn't belong to it, trying to take something from another, for it itself is always defiled. See, in that mind in the world today, it kills and it steals. We recognize that mind a lot of times because of the law. The law says if you kill, then you go to the electric chair, or you pay for it. If you steal, then you have problems. Like talking to a judge over in Atlanta, Georgia a few days ago. Said that they just love to give the penalty of death or imprisonment for life to one that robs as armed robbery. So you remember that, you said that's the delight of us judges. Great, big, fabulous judge there in Atlanta, Georgia. So then we recognize that mind by the penalty of the law as to murder and many other things. But as to the little foxes, as we call them, that spoils the vine, we don't recognize it. And we are always taken with the mind of corruption. And the Bible said, know ye not that the spirit within you as man lusteth unto envy, that ye desire and you cannot obtain unto. You cannot obtain unto it because you do not call on the Lord. You want something, you don't have it because you don't ask Christ Jesus for it. You don't have enough faith to believe in God, that he can handle it. You're leaning upon the monetary values and your own skill and ability. See, and your foundation is but sin. You don't build your faith and confidence on the Word, that when troubles and tribulations arise, that you have something that you can look to and something that will cause you to stand. So then, this mind takes you, and it's devouring humanity throughout the world today. This corrupt mind that's in the world today, and the way that it has strength is that it is interwoven with the mind of innocency, which is the mind of man, the mind that I made mention of just a few minutes ago. See, this mind of corruption cannot function in the human body unless it becomes interwoven with your mind, because you are a sovereignty. And it cannot come in unless you allow it to come in. It is forceful like a strong wind that blows your windows out. And you don't have any resistance against it, to the extent that you as a spiritual being on the inside of these little tabernacles of clay, you are weaker than angels or those fallen beings. For angel is greater than man. Angel is greater than man. So then your spirit finds itself submitting to the lust of the flesh, in that your body is subjected to the vanities of the world as to eating and drinking and all of these other kind of things. As to the carnal side of life, which God has freely given you, your mind is subjected to these things because you subjected your mind. The creature is subject to these things because God has subjected him unto them. And he has to satisfy these five human senses to stay alive. As to stimulation, as to the spirit, or as to eating and drinking, whatever it might be that creates a stimulation. See, so you're subject to those things, but you yourself subject yourself to the devil and to corruption and to the lust of the flesh and to the monetary values of the world and to the love of the world. You do that. See, you do that, and God hates that. I've said it so often, you can have anything you want. God has given it to you. All things are clean and pure unto the pure. Unto the unbelieving defile is there nothing pure. Even their consciences defile. See, but you can never be carnal minded. Paul said, I've sown spiritual things unto you. Shall I not reap of your carnal? If other men are partakers of these, or am I not the more? You can have all the carnal things you want to, folks. Houses and lands and whatever, that's the blessing of God. But there's one thing that you cannot do, and you cannot be carnal minded. You must be Christ-minded. You must be spiritual-minded. You must be heavenly-minded. You must set your mind upon things in heaven and set your affection on things in heaven and let your conversation be in heaven. You cannot have your conversation in the earth and on these natural things and delight in these natural things and esteem these natural things or the natural sources of the earth. For whatever is highly esteemed to the earth is an abomination in the sight of God. So then we find another mind. This other mind is the mind of Christ. It's a mind of purity. It's a mind of love. It's a mind of peace. It's a mind of gentleness. They that keep their minds stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. So then it is a mind of peace. It is a mind of heavenly tranquility. This great mind is a mind that causes you to have your conversation in heaven. Your desire is in heaven. Your thoughts are that my fellow man is better than I am, to esteem others better than yourself, the Bible said. And the Bible said to look on the things of another and not to gloat over the things of yourself. And the Bible said to seek the welfare of another as your brother's keeper, not your own. Even as Jesus, our God, our Savior, our Lord, submitting himself to mankind to wash the feet of mankind, to leave an example. So then we find that this great mind of love and peace, of purity, of cleanliness, of holiness, of righteousness, of godliness, this mind is in the earth. And ever since Calvary, this mind that's the mind of Christ, it's called the kingdom of God, in that God fully gave himself unto the Spirit, which is called the kingdom of God within you. Satan, the world, the fullness of the devil, in the mind of Lucifer. And the world is in you. The Bible said that God has set the world in your heart. That is to say, if you are of the tear, the world is in you. But if you are of God, then you're born again, and the kingdom of heaven is within you. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If he thinks heavenly, then is he heavenly. If he thinks earthly, then is he earthly. If he thinks as a devil, like Peter did when he savored the things that be of the flesh, then is he a devil. But if he gives himself to God, if he gives his mind to God, then is he God. He is either Satan or he is God. Someone would say, no, Brother Pike. Oh, yes, that's not blasphemy. Jesus said, you're gods. When they accused him, he said, why do you do that? Is it not written in the scriptures, I have called ye gods? I checked the scriptures as to the Old Testament and the book of Psalms. The Spirit said, and you're gods, but ye shall die like men. See, so whatever there is in you makes you what you are. There's a saying in the world that what you eat, that's what you are. And Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. So then that's what we are. Now then, Jesus being the fullness of God and the Spirit, we are members of that body in particular. The Bible said membership. That is, we're bone of his bone, and we are flesh of his flesh. And Paul said, it's no longer we that live, but Christ that liveth within us. And the life we now live, we live by the Son of God. And so then we have the mind of Christ. And then that makes us have this life of Christ. For the Bible said it is that God desires that this very life of Christ be made manifest in your mortal genes, even to the extent as when the Spirit moved upon Moses and his face lit up, as wisdom that maketh your face to shine, as Stephen's whose face lit up, as Jesus who was glorified on the mountain, and the glory of God was there with Moses and Elijah. there on the Mount of God. So then ye are gods, as members in particular, ye are gods. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, have opportunity to move on to the full measure. The Bible said every man that be perfect shall be as his master. No man shall be above his master, but every man that be perfect shall be as his master. To go on to the full measure, go on to the full stature. So then we're ordained in this diplomacy and the tutoring of those that preach the gospel to us, which is the ministry. We're ordained to the full measure that this mind may be placed within us, detailed within us, as we from glory to glory and faith to faith, understanding to understanding, come to the full mind of God, that this mind be made manifest in his body. And you know, this is the beautiful thing about it. Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus said this unto you and I do these things, and then I go away. I send another comforter, even the Holy Spirit, that he might fill you. And the Bible said, when he comes, greater things that I've done, than these ye shall do. And he said, as I have overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father, if you shall overcome, ye shall also sit down in the throne with me. For God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And the Bible said, everyone that be perfect shall be equal with his master, or that is, he can be the body, the bone, and the flesh. And he said, as I have overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father, if you overcome, then shall ye also sit down in the throne with me. Which brings us to the body again, that we're his body. Heaven is his throne. That's a big place. Earth is his footstool. A lot of room up there. So then we find that we are more than just beasts, or brute beasts, or the terrors. You're not like the beast, nor the brute beast of this world. You're not the terrors of this world. God didn't sow the tares. The Bible said the enemy sowed the tares. Those tares are not of God, though the rain is to God being love, coming down upon the wheat and the tare, the just and the unjust. And they have a blessing as to right now. I may really lose my audience. I guess I better get a swallow of water by here. When I say this, but you've held on pretty good, so probably you'll just listen to this even out of courtesy, knowing I'm going to close. God didn't have anything to do with the tares. God didn't make the tares. And God is angry with the tare as the wicked every day. Though God is willing that the wicked be saved, as to repentance, if at all possible they could come to God, he said, it's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then at the same time it is also said, when Paul, our overseer, as the Gentile overseer, was preaching, the Bible said that as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed when Paul preached, and the rest of them did not believe. So then it was as to the election, whereas the Bible said, and we are elect according to what God foreknew of us as to what we would do in our day and when he called us to this wonderful gospel of Christ. So then the elect believed and the rest of them did not. And the Bible said the wicked has turned the grace of God as to the days of grace and the blood on the seat of atonement, as to this age of repentance, this time of God's love, that the wicked has turned this into lasciviousness. Or that is, they are doing the frolics of the world. And why are they doing that? Now listen real close. It is because that you that are Christians, you that are elect, you that are believers in God, you that are children of God, it is because you dwell in heaven. It is because you dwell in heaven. Just hold on a minute or two. It is because you are in heaven. Oh, somebody said, now what do you mean? That's why I said they missed it. It is because you are in heaven. And being in heaven, it brings the atmosphere of God. It brings the blessings of God, as it brought God's presence in the midst of Israel as they walked on this earth, and the blessings upon the nations. And ye being the light of the world, that is light as to understanding. So then ye are in heaven. Ye are in heaven. The Bible said you're not of this world. I've chosen you out of this world. And I've hid you with Christ in God, that is in the Spirit, whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things as to the bringing back to the garden as to the millennium as you call it. Now, so then, he said, if you walk not in the flesh, then you cannot be under condemnation. For the Bible said, there is there now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So then, you that are in the Spirit cannot walk in the flesh. It is utterly impossible for you to walk in the flesh, because you are in Christ Jesus. And Christ cannot walk in the flesh. We have known him after the flesh, but from henceforth we know him no more after the flesh. We know no man after the flesh. We know them as a spiritual being as to whatever world they are from. So then you are not in the flesh. I have chosen you out of the flesh. And I have crucified the body of this death, as Paul called it. Sinful flesh, and I buried in the lovely name of Jesus. By Calvary, you are dead, and that you are to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto the flesh. As the outer man perishes, yet the inner man, as the angelic man, is renewed day by day. Even the second man, the inner man, Christ from glory. So then you are free from the body of death and sin and corruption, so that we don't follow after that. So he said, come out from the world and be a separate people. And I will receive you, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. And so then the translation and the catching away is taking place by the word from glory to glory. For the Bible says that God hath, not going to or not waiting for it, but God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And we are hid now from the world, and Satan cannot touch us. For light hath no fellowship with darkness, and ye are children of light. And darkness cannot get near it, because light causes darkness to dissipate. Therefore you have a heavenly mind, and you are of a good understanding. You have a right kind of mind, and the child is known by his doings, and you do the right things. As you think, so you are. And so then in your angelic being, your inner man, you have been translated into the kingdom of God. The Bible said, the law and the prophets, until Calvary or Christ. And since then, the kingdom of God has been preached. And now the kingdom of God is in the earth. And we preach since then the kingdom of God, to repent of your sins and be translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. For Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. So then ye are those that dwell in heaven. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, with my infirmities and my problems and all of these mishaps of life and misdemeanors of life, you mean to tell me that I'm in heaven? The Bible says, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. For God has hid you with Christ in heaven. For the heavens have received you. And the devil cannot come nigh your dwelling. And all of these things cannot touch you or come nigh your dwelling. Though your body is dead in this world is a grave. And it's hid here. And it's dead. And at death your spirit went back to God who gave it. And now ye are they that dwell in heaven. And this is why that the world today is in the condition that it is in. And you're not going to accept this unless you really have God. But that's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. See, because God is with you, and because God is in you, and because you are in heaven, in the presence of God, then that means that the devil is also in heaven. Now, right there is where you lose your congregation for sure. If they don't go, you lose them in thought, unless they can understand. The Bible said the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. Brother Pike, is it possible that the devil can be in heaven? The devil dwells in human beings, and the blood is on the seat of atonement, and the grace of God is here, and the rain, which is the grace, is on the just and the unjust. And the devil that wanders through those dry places has entered into human bodies, even as Mary Magdalene, when seven devils entered into her, or even as it was with the legion, when a whole legion of devils entered into him. And people have devils, some one devil, some two devils, some 10 devils. And they're powerful in personality, that they sway and they override, and they come into power and monetary values and enslave mankind to tribute through life. So then, the book of Revelation, Revelation 12 says, and when the man-child is caught up to the throne, Lucifer is cast out. See, heaven is the spirit, and Lucifer is a spiritual being, a gigantic thing of power. He is the God of this world. He loves the things of this world. He savors the things that be of this world. He's cut off from the world of light as to having those kind of things. And because he is cut off from the world of light, then that means the only things he can have is in the presence of the children of God or in the presence of the grace of God. And the Bible said when the church is caught up, that is to say when their bodily change comes as to them winning the redemption of their body, the devil is going to be put out of the spirit and made manifest in the flesh. And he's going to take on the number 666 as to control the world through a laser computerized system. And that thing is right now at hand. Maybe you've not noticed it, but we've preached quite a lot of things in the last little bit concerning the coming of Antichrist. And one of the things that we're briefly going to state tonight is that the legislation of the United States is coming together to make a change in the Constitution of the United States. As to amendment and addendums, you know how they do. And this seems to be a motivated thing as toward doing away with income tax. To completely do away with income tax. Question would arise, why? One reason is because there's so much evasion of income tax. And there's no way to keep up with people. People are too smart. They get out of that. See, and then some get caught, some never get caught. So then they can't get all the money they want. Gullible, the Bible said, greedy dogs that never get enough. And so then, now at this point, if they can do away with income tax, they've got everything under their control. F. They will turn it into a sales tax. Because there's no way that you can get by a sales tax. Because you've got to buy and eat and drink, and they know that. And so then they're planning to move toward that in taking away that can be evasion and bringing into view this thing that will be a sales tax. Now, when I talked to God about this thing, there was one thing that he highlighted and showed me. He said, and this, my son, will bring in the mark of the beast. He said, because at this point, man will not be able to buy, nor steal, nor eat, nor drink, unless he hath the mark of the beast. Said, and the people that don't know what they're doing, even the one that's legislating and bringing this thing in, he said, they will be caught in it. For he will make rich, all rich, poor, all alike, take this mark. So then, it means that at the point of this change, the church will be going out. And as the church goes out, that has to do with the catching up of the man-child, which is also shown in the middle of Daniel's last week as to the tribulation period. And with the church going up, the change, that means Lucifer will be forced out of the spirit. He'll never be able to hide in heaven again. He'll be forced out and he'll go into a human body, personify himself, and through the Social Security number. We said this many years ago. We spoke of the fall of the great ministers of the earth. I could name them tonight. You'd probably get offended, but they failed just like we said. Some of them that would be in their old age when they would fall. I spoke of them when they were very young men and how they would fall. And so then they fall. See, and at this time, it has to do with that religious thing and the casting out of Lucifer. He said, though thou climbest up into heaven, I shall cast thee down to hell. Though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee out. The old intellectual tree of knowledge, the old serpentine head that we bruise with this wonderful word of God, having the Apollo, knowing what the Bible says in the book of Revelation, as Apollo being the king of the bottomless pit. Even the Apollo, through the intellectual reasoning, that took the little ship up and set it on the moon, and they called it the nest, and that among the stars. See, and you remember how one started up, and God cast it slap down to the pit. It went back down to the ocean, blazing back down to the ocean. And it was symbolized by knowledge, even as to the teacher that was on there. Just speaking symbolic now to those that can understand spiritual things, we would get into real deep spiritual things tonight. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual, that we might speak to you, and that great is the mystery of godliness. The Bible said, We are made a steward of the mysteries of godliness. But rather than doing that, we're just exhorting you just a little bit and speaking on the level where most of you can understand, because we just have this one night here with you. All right, so then let me say this to you. With the catching up, then Satan goes out. He personifies himself, and as we said years ago, that it would come to pass that they would run everything under the Social Security number. Back then it didn't mean much, but since then they put the soldiers under it as to their dog tag number. They put the tags under it. They put all these other things under it. And this system of socialism, as to the number, as to what you will receive, will head up in that great thing in Brussels as to 666. We've been there. To where this great thing is as to this computerized thing. And they say that this is the only number that they can find that will be one that will cover the whole entirety of the numerical system. But anyway, having been there and have been into Israel about 7 times, I believe, maybe fixing to go into Israel again for the 8th time. There's something that's going on because we're about to buy some land over there if everything goes right, right inside of old Jerusalem and the old city there. But nevertheless, this is where we're all at today. See, this thing is at hand, and no one is going to escape it. There is no way to evade income tax when they fix it to where you can't buy or sell. And the only one that will escape this will be the hand of God, and that through the tribulation period of which we do not have time to comment on tonight. So then, folks, it's high time that we repented of our sins, accepted our election, make your election and calling sure, acknowledge your election as sonship and as daughters of God by coming out of the world and proving that you can come out of the world and be a separate people. Get away from the non-virtuous things on TV and the non-virtuous things in the magazines and the non-virtuous things in the papers. And the Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. We need virtue. The Bible said virtue went out of Jesus and healed the people. And we need the virtue. The virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. And today, you can't hardly find one. And spiritually speaking, you can't hardly find one.